Hello, welcome to the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. Don't worry, I'm not talking like Edward James Olmos this week. My mic is fixed. I've got a fixed mic. I'm Ronnie Karam. Oh, what were you going to say?
Nothing. just being excited.
I'm Ronnie Karam from the Watch What Crappens Podcast and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks podcast over on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast pleasures filled. And I'm with the gorgeous Stephanie Wilder Taylor of For Crying Out Loud. What's going on,
hello,
baby?
Hello, Ronnie.
So good to talk to you.
So good to talk to you, too.
I love this time in my week where we can just be girls, talk about girly things like our hearts are feeling and where our journeys are leading us.
And how to get more vulnerability into our lives.
Being
how
here for the right reasons. Yes, girl.
Take down my walls, Ronnie.
Oh, lawyer really whipped it out last night on this episode with her. Oh. I'm vulnerable. I'm here for the right reasons. Like, she went through all of the sayings.
Oh, my God. I have that all written down, too.
Everyone, thanks so much for listening to this show. We do bonuses every week. You can find those on our premium feed. That's just go to rosepricks.com. It'll take you to Podbean. Basically, you sign up, you get subscribed up, and then you get all of the archives, which we're up to like 50-something episodes now. So all the archives, all the bonus episodes, and all that stuff is available through the premium feed. So go there.
Yeah, and we should I tell them? We go. Might pretty much start a little Patreon. So if you want to do that instead, that'll be fine too. And we'll do that. We'll put the bonuses up there.
Yeah. And for ideas that you would want for a Patreon thing, because Patreon, basically, for those of you who don't know, you just support people that you like and then you get little extras. So we'll put up a post over on our Facebook. That's facebook.com/rosepricks pod, and come over there and tell us what you would want, you know?
Exactly.
So let's get on with some. Oh, also on Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at Rose Pricks Pod. Super easy. Stephanie is at swildertaylor.com on Twitter. swildertaylor on Twitter. And I'm at Ronnie Karam. Karam. Or Karam, as you normally pronounce it, which is also Insta. Okay, let's get into this episode.
All right. So let's not preamble this shit, okay? It opens up on Rachel, who's wearing a dress that looks like a chandelier threw up on her. Did you notice that? Was that just me?
Wait, which one is Rachel?
Rachel's the lawyer. So she's wearing this like silver, weird, crazy, like with chunks like a disco ball. It was such a crazy dress.
I'm a terrible gay because I don't really see things like that. Like, I don't see dresses, which
you don't
know.
See fashion?
I don't at all. I mean, I guess it's because I shop at Old Navy, and once you go in there enough times, all the fashion soul is just crushed out of you. You know, there's like nothing left.
Oh, I shop there too.
But I do notice that Rachel, lawyer lady, looks kind of awkward in anything she's in. I think it's just because she's used to wearing polyester suits every day to that Texas law office thing that she goes to that we saw in the first episode.
Right. You're right.
So, I don't know.
She doesn't know how to be cash.
Yeah, she can't be cash.
Or formal.
And I don't think Nick can pick her because she's very, like that girl, you come home to that girl and she's going to know what your ass did wrong that day.
I know.
She has a look in her eyes. Like, she had one point where she was talking to him when they were on their date, and she was talking to him, and she was trying to be very earnest, and she opened her eyes really wide to be earnest, and I was like, oh, she's so faking it. Like, she's not, I can tell she's trying to be earnest. She's like a little kid. Like, I didn't do it.
Yeah,
I was like, this is not her. You better get ready, because that girl's going to go to work. She's going to come home at midnight, and if you smell like someone else's breath, she's going to beat the shit out of you before you go to bed.
That's hilarious.
As she should.
And the thing is about Rachel, I couldn't help but just love her through the whole episode, even though she was being a robot and just puking up, you know, bachelor phrases and terminology. But there's something about her smile. I think she's so pretty. And she's just so much smarter than everybody on that show.
Well, that's why I don't trust her. I don't trust her. I don't trust someone that smart being on this show. It's weird. And if you're really happy being a lawyer, then why are you being charming on The Bachelor when you know you're too smart to be there? She has to want something else. You know what I mean? She's not there for Nick. Because when these girls go on the show, they don't even know who The Bachelor is going to be. And especially when this girl knows it's going to be Nick, she's not going to be there for that loser. I mean, no offense, Nick. But because I know he's listening to this right now as he does crunches. But she ain't going to be there for him. So I'm like, what's her angle? Is she going to stop being a lawyer and try and be an actor or something? I don't know. But time will tell. Time will tell. Because we always follow these girls way off. Just kidding. We pretend
they're
dead.
Well, then I'm going to get worried for her if she doesn't, if she's not the winner. That's going to be an ugly cry when she gets broken up with.
Well, I hope that she's just indignant, you know? I hope she's like, well, fuck him. I hope she's like one of those girls.
I'm waiting for Jasmine to get thrown off because that's going to be some indignant attitude.
Now, which one is Jasmine? I only know them by their nicknames.
Basketball, the dancer, the other black girl on the show right now.
Well, they showed clips for next week and it makes it look like she's beating the shit out of him. So,
oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with that. But yeah, Jasmine has some little gifts inside of her soul to share with us. So I can't wait till we get there.
I can't wait.
So we open with the scene from last week where Dum Dum, who thinks she's not a dum dum, the therapist and Corinne are outside talking and basically trying to discuss what's stupid and what's not stupid. And I was dying. I was dying watching this scene.
Oh my God. Because
Corinne's like, you're calling me stupid. And she's like, I'm just saying you don't have emotional intelligence because some kind of intelligence is like math and some kinds isn't emotional intelligence. And I'm just saying the maturity of the intelligence of the emotionality of the situation. I'm like, you're stupid. You're like literally stupid right now, lady.
Somebody on our Facebook said that they started a new drinking game that you have to drink every time someone says emotional intelligence. And I almost had to go back to day one of my sobriety because come on, that they said it constantly.
You're like, I could keep my gold-plated chip.
But this was the best part about this to me was Corinne's starting to gaslight Taylor. It was so masterful.
Just it was.
Taylor's look on her face when she started going, she's like, you know, Taylor, she says, Taylor, you're not going out of your way to say hi to the girls. And they're starting to wonder about you. And you could just see Taylor's face was like a dog that just saw some treats and then the treats went behind the owner's back. She was like, wait, I thought I was, huh?
And like then she one of those little laser pins you aim at the floor and the cat chases it.
Yeah.
Totally.
She goes, like, you could see that she's trying not to buy into it already, but she's like, what do you mean? Like, wonder what?
Yeah.
And Corinne goes, if you're here for the right reasons. So Corinne basically
hunted
it up for five straight episodes, but gets under Taylor's skin immediately for not saying hi enough.
Yes. And she got her. She got her because this girl's like, this girl can do nothing to get to me. And she's like, but you're not saying hi to the girl. Are you here for the right reasons? You could see her start to melt down inside. And I like that every time they show Corinne, she's like, I hate Taylor. She's like a bully, and I'm not going to take that. So get ready to be Corinne, because no one messes with Corinne. And you think I'm an idiot? Well, guess what? You're an idiot. I'm going to school her. And then she says that like every time they give her a chance to talk. And by the end of the episode, someone wrote on her Facebook, the brilliant twist of the season is that they actually made Taylor the crazy one.
Yes!
And it's so true.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's so funny about Taylor because it's like all this confidence is this fake confidence. It's like a sandcastle. It's just all collapses the second she's accused of not saying hi. And she starts thinking about it. She's like, well, I can't just go around like, hi, good morning. How's your night? I mean, that's not genuine. That's not me. I'm not somebody who's just like, how are you? How was your day?
Yes.
I mean, that's for losers.
And
like,
then,
I'm more emotionally intelligent than that.
Yes. And then Corinne jumped right in on that. She's like, so you're saying that you don't care that you don't say hi? And Taylor's like, yeah, well, I guess. I mean, I'm saying that, like, I don't care what everybody thinks. Like, I can't be friends with everybody. And she's like, so you're admitting that you're not nice to other girls? Because I think I just got you to admit that. And she's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's like the dumbest. It's like the dumbest trick I've ever seen, and it totally worked.
I cannot believe it worked. It was so funny. And then they go to Corinne, and she's just hammered, holding a glass. Somebody said, I think it was Sarah. My friend Sarah Wolf said, looks like she's been dragged through a bush backward. Or I don't know, but it was just, she's just like, she's disgusting. I can't. It hurts me for Nick. It hurts me in my heart for Nick.
Yeah,
she's like, because of how her is.
You're like, you're rude and you have stank face on your face. And it's uncomfortable, okay? Because your face is like stank on face. And like, why would you put a stank on a face? And then Taylor's like, oh my God, she can't take the truth. I know what she's doing. This is a psychological trick. And I have enough emotional intelligence to understand that the emotional intelligence she's using is not emotionally intelligent, because she can't take the truth. And so now she's turning it on me. Well, I'm not going to get emotional, but she is. And then it cuts back to her and Corinne, and she's like, look, I can't force myself to be nice to girls. Like, if I'm forcing something that's not there, that's like friend rape. I'm not going to friend rape somebody. Stop trying to make me friend rape people on TV. You're not getting me to go to jail. And she's like, you're a bully, and you're, like, disgusting, and I can't, okay? Like, I'm terrified for Nick, because, like, one day Nick's going to be like, oh, stink face.
She's like, listen, I'm very emotionally intelligent. Do you know what I do for a living? I counsel people who have been friend raped. Like, I'm the person that friend rape people come to when they have been friend raped or violated. I'm the one that helps them, not you. And then she's like, then Corinne goes, I feel like you're feeling like how I was feeling yesterday, like alone and sad. And Taylor goes, I don't feel that way.
Yeah, she's like, I don't feel either one of those things. And she goes, yeah, well, you should, because everyone hates you. So.
Yeah. And then Corinne goes to Nick. Nick, can I just tell you something, like one thing? Like, I'm scared because a lot of the girls have been, like, feeling weird towards Taylor. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, she goes, I'm not fake. She's like, I'm not fake, okay? Like, I'm not fake, but I just wanted to say. And he's, like, kind of bored. He's like, uh-huh, yeah. Okay, tattletale, tattletale. But then she goes, and I don't think she's here for the right reasons. And he's like, whoa, not here for the right reasons. That's a huge accusation.
Then he goes, I appreciate you saying that. It's very honest. I would encourage you to continue to show that maturity. What? Nick?
And then she makes out with him. He's like, thanks for being so mature. And they're making out, and then it cuts to Corinne, and she's like, what does that say about your emotional intelligence, bitch?
Oh my God.
Corinne thinks making out is emotional intelligence. I fucking love Corinne. And if something happens to her because of those goddamn voodoo ladies in the jungle, I'm going to be pissed. Okay, I'm telling you right now. If those voodoo bitches messed with anything on this show, I'm going to be pissed.
So then we got to go to the rose ceremony. And it was so weird. Somebody pointed this out on Facebook, and it was so true. Everybody looked like it. I think the problem is it was happening at like 4 a.m.
And it was 20 degrees in there. It was like 20 degrees. You could see all of their breath. You know, like when you can see people's bad breath. They're like, oh my God, we were drinking coffee. Now we have terrible coffee breath. Like, you could see the Folgers emanating from their mouth breath, you know?
Yep.
And they're all pissed. They've had to sit there and watch Corinne and Taylor fight for probably what was 6 hours in shooting time. Because it seemed to go on forever. And then they've got Taylor in there talking to them all. And Taylor's like, you guys, that was not a productive conversation. It wasn't productive. I'm like, duh, you're on The Bachelor. And Dolphin Shark Girl is like, you guys, we are women. We are not girls. I'm like, okay, Dolphin. You showed up in a Dolphin Shark costume.
We are mammals. Okay.
Yeah, you guys. We're not seals.
I think
sharks.
It's interesting that it seems like a lot of the people don't like Taylor, which you would think right now it would be all about how much they hate Corinne.
Well, but Taylor is a judgy bitch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to be in a pack of hoes where one hoe acts like she's above the rest of the hoes. A hoe is a hoe is a hoe. Okay?
Yeah.
You a hoe, bitch. Now stop acting like you a smart hoe. You ain't a smart hoe. You're on The Bachelor like everybody else, and you have a chalkboard on your front door of your office. I will never forget that.
Oh, my God. Okay, so then...
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but did you notice that Chris... Did he have a pipe? What was Chris holding in this? He's like, all right, welcome to the rose ceremony, ladies. I was like, are you holding a pipe? Like, are you on Masterpiece Theater now, Chris?
He probably thinks he is. Uh-oh, my husband just walked in the door on the phone loud.
Oh, yeah, he's like, oh, deal, deal. Oh, I'm making a deal. Oh, yeah, deal, deal, deal.
I wish. Okay, so the Rusky has a rose, and Raven has a rose. Praise, hallelujah, praise Jesus. I already have a rose.
Isn't it funny? I never thought about this before, but this is a beautiful flower, but it can also hurt you.
Mm, every time I look at Raven, I feel like somebody filed her teeth into like a straight, like took a ruler with a file on one side and just filed them into like a straight, like there's no different sizes to any of her teeth.
I think it's because she was one of those girls born with, like, you know, like vampire teeth or something. I had those. I had to get them filed down. So I'm projecting my own issues onto her. But I feel like, yeah, she had some janky teeth and she just had to get them all shaved down.
Yeah, but can't you do that in a slightly more natural way? Like, no. Do you have to do them? Do you have to just go one size? Everything's going to be a straight line.
Well, none of the people on this show do anything in a natural way. I mean... One of the telltale signs of someone on reality TV is their goddamn teeth. I mean, they're crazy. They're like bright neon white. They'll hurt your eyes if you look at them too long. They're like weird and straight. They just don't look right.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like too much bleach.
But those are
distracting.
Don't
get Groupon teeth, people. Look at
me. Okay, so then this was funny. So somebody gets a rose, and me, I watched The Bachelor with my kids now, always. They love it. My kids... live for The Bachelor.
Well, when your children grow up to be whores,
don't come crying to me. Oh my God. They make the funniest comments. Okay. Which I will get to. But so none of us could figure out who the first one was. We're like, who is this? I go, Quinn? Is her name Quinn?
Who
I was like, there's
it?
No Quinn on the show. Okay. Elby and I were madly Googling like who got a rose on The Bachelor because we couldn't figure out who it was. Finally, I replayed it like four times. And then I had to just let it play. And then when she goes up, I realized it was Whitney.
Which one's Whitney? First one. What does she do?
Exactly. She's the first one that got a rose.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I was just looking at all their miserable faces. Taylor looked like she was about to start.
Loud in the background. Can you hear John?
Yeah, I can hear him.
John, I'm podcasting.
I mean, it's okay. You have a husband, you know. I'll just pretend that I have a husband and he's making deals and I'll be happy because all a woman really needs is a husband. But I was looking at their faces. Taylor didn't look like legit miserable. She looked like that pouty, aren't you going to ask me what's wrong? Which no man needs. Like no man likes that. Okay. And then who were the other girls? Cat Lady was looking at him like, I was like, what are you going to rip off your top? It's 20 degrees outside. Calm down over there, Cat Lady. Josephine, the Cat Lady.
But you know what was interesting? This is I would think as a gay, you would notice this, but it could just be me being a girl. But a lot of the girls weren't wearing any makeup, which I thought was so interesting, which made me wonder if they were like all snatched out of bed or something like rose ceremony.
Get the ball gowns back on, bitches.
Because a lot of them had not a stitch. I noticed Taylor had no makeup on. And, you know, these girls are into wearing a face full of makeup.
Oh, didn't Taylor have like some, didn't she have like some glittery eyeshadow or something on? Because I remember thinking.
Not in this scene.
Oh, okay. Well, Nick, when the rose ceremony starts, Nick's like, guys, I really like for you to embrace this week, like meant a lot to me because like, that's like my hometown. It was like, wow, amazing. I was like, what's meaningful? You took someone to a goddamn donut store. Like, seriously?
I know. He is so full of himself these days.
Yeah. So the dental hygienist lady, she's like, I feel good about tonight. And, you know, if these girls are having problems like this Taylor and Corinne, then send them both home. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll make good TV. Yeah. You're going to be a dental assistant forever. You're certainly not going to be producing a damn TV show.
Yeah, well, it was some mad genius action to send them on the two-on-one date.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
That was good producing.
Oh, okay, and another, next to Josephine, ready to rip off her top, is Big Face, like crazy Big Face girl. I fucking him. Like, you can't win things because you want it the most. You know, I say it every week, but this girl is definitely like,
I really like you.
I'm like, get some self-respect, lady. Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, I know. And you could just see it coming because you're like, I barely know this chick's name. She's not had an ounce of screen time. Bye.
I was actually surprised she left because she's so cute. I mean, she really is a cute girl in like a very giant mouth chipmunky kind of a way. But I mean, she's cute. I think she's very pretty. But anyway, so the lawyer is like, well, I usually go into ceremony with a rose, so not to sound like a dick, but I do. And this, like, I have to wait now. This means it's getting real, but she gets a flower. And then Goth Giraffe is in the back, sadly eating, like, potpourri off a shelf. She's like, why do they have to put that poor girl on a platform every single time?
I don't know, but that is so true.
They're such assholes. Like, sad goth giraffe in the back. Like, are these crackers?
Jamie forgot to relax her hair. The Jamie the lesbian with the nose ring. I was like, I have not seen hair that frizzy in a rose ceremony. That's where I was like, oh, yeah. They had to have snatched these girls out of their beds.
Yeah. They're like, go outside into the barn. She's like, my nose ring is literally freezing the inside of my nostrils. Like, I can't with this. Taylor's despondent. And she's like, I feel panicked over shit that Corinne said about me. And that is bullshit that she would try and do this to me. And then it cuts to Corinne again going, I hate Taylor. You know what? You're a bitch. And you're mean. You don't deserve a rose. And then Corinne gets a rose. And everyone's like, like, they don't know that they're on a TV show.
Right. Right.
And she's like, so looks stupid now, bitch? Yeah. Bye, killer. See you never. Drinking her Trader Joe's champagne.
Oh, my God. She's just fucking this. Fight that. She bitch fucked up. She's so drunk all the time.
I know. I love it. And then the last rose goes to Taylor. Yeah. And Taylor's like, I got a rose, but I'm still waiting for you to ask me what's wrong, Nick. And he's like, busy. So the losers are a giant big face Sarah, which is so sad, and Goth Giraffe. Now, here's the saddest part. Big Face is outside, like, legit sobbing, which I'm sorry to laugh, but I love when they cry. I love it. But she's like, this is not how any of this is supposed to go. I didn't think I was going home. And someone who's ready to be here, outshadowed by the drama. I'm like, you are outshadowed? I know you're upset, but you were outshadowed, really? She's like, love is the only thing in my life that I want, but I don't know how to get it.
I thought that going on The Bachelor was like a really easy way to get love. But it's not.
I mean, does this mean I'm going to have to pay for Match.com now? It's like, no one wants to be with someone who snorts like that. Get that fixed first, you know? Baby steps. Baby steps.
So then, yeah, did they even show the other one? Who else got kicked off?
Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. That's the saddest thing is poor Goth Giraffe. Got kicked off, and she's like, can I take this bowl of good-smelling flowers that were dried? And Nick's like, yes, please, just, that's the only vase that had anything in it on this entire show. Please get it out of here. It doesn't fit. And they don't even show her. She's just like, bye. And he's like, bye, big lady. She's like, she just like stalks off back into the jungle or whatever.
Yeah.
Into the woods. Bless her heart.
Poor Astrid.
It must be sad to be so tall and so sad. You know, and she wasn't even tall. I think it's her Adam's family.
I swear
family
to God,
hair.
I was just going to say that. We don't even know how tall she was. It's very hard to tell on TV.
It's just that she's always on the platform, kind of slumped over, like,
She just has a tall feeling about her.
Yeah, she's always on platforms. They're like, okay, we're at the cow farm now. Okay, honey, could you stand on the stool for a while?
Why?
We just need you to look really sad and tall.
All right.
Oh, God. So then they go to Corinne, and she's like, I'm going to tell you something about Taylor, okay? The fact that she thinks she can disrespect me is fucked up, okay? And I'm going to tell you something right now. If it happens one more time, we're going to have a problem. Like, I'm serious. Like, she's disrespected me. I know I've said this before. I know I keep saying it, that if she does it one more time, we're going to have an issue. But I'm going to say it one more time. No more. No more times. Taylor, you're out of chances. Okay?
Emotional intelligence. And then she, like, drinks. Like another glass of champagne. I love that they're just getting her plastered. And they're not even trying to hide it. She's just holding a giant glass every time.
Always. Now.
So Taylor, of course, is like, actually, I'm impressed with Corinne's level of manipulation. And then Nick is like, ladies, we're going to spice it up a bit. We're going to go to New Orleans. And then everyone's like, woo! And horror music is playing in the back. And they're like, woo! It's like, ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. I was like, are you going to kill somebody in New Orleans? What is going to happen in New Orleans?
So my favorite thing about this opening part was that the girls, I've never seen people more excited over a Marriott. They're like, wow! Wow! Oh my God, there's a bed in here! Oh my God, let's jump on it, you guys. Oh my God, there's a bathroom! Shut up. Your room has a bathroom? That's crazy.
Oh my God! A plastic couch! This is amazing! You guys, what if we spill something on here? Who cares? It's plastic! Woo! Woo!
Oh my God, you guys, check this out. There's a little notepad and a pen! Woo!
It's a phone that's hooked to a wall! This is nuts! It's crazy! Yeah. You guys, I found calories on my pillow. Ooh, should I eat it? No. Should I? Okay, do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Do it! I'm not going to do it. It tastes like a mint. It tastes like a mint.
Friend's like, I'll fucking eat it. Give it to me. I don't care. Fucking eat a mint.
You guys. Cough
laugh. I have emotional intelligence. I like mints, so I'm going to eat it.
Oh my God. Cough laugh. Cough laugh.
Okay.
Oh, when the saints come marching in. Every time they show New Orleans, it's when the saints come marching in.
Yes. Yes. So Chris comes in to let everybody know that they're in New Orleans and there's going to be dates. This episode of The Bachelor is going to be a lot different than other episodes. In this one, there's going to be a group date, a one-on-one, and a two-on-one. What? Oh, my God. I hope I don't get the two-on-one because that means somebody's going home.
Yeah. Someone always has to go home in the two-on-one. And it is terrifying, you know, because these girls, like, does anybody get anything from Nick other than, really glad you're here? Let's make out. Like, that's literally all that's happened on this show. Does anybody even know him yet? You can't be competing with some other nondescript girl, you know? Like, even the nose ring girl is nervous, and she's never nervous. She's like, guys, this is where I'm from. Like, New Orleans is my place. Like, there's a lot of girls with nose rings here. Like, am I going to stand out? Why wouldn't he pick some other girl with a handle on her face? Like, what's going to make me stand out? Like, read a book.
Well, I do think it's insane, first of all, that she's even still there. But I think, as I always say, every season. I don't understand how anybody could be into Nick, because he's like a empty husk. It's like, we have never heard him talk one time ever about what he does for a living.
I don't think he does anything.
We've never heard one thing about any of his interests.
I don't think he has any.
Right. So what are they falling in love with?
His plagues. I mean, he really does have a good hairpiece.
I guess.
It's very realistic looking. You have to look really close to realize that there's something up there. And then you have to look at, like, how he's parting his hair in the back, because he does all these weird, like, I'm going to smush my head up against the pillow and try and hide the bald spot there. And then I'm going to smush it in a different place tomorrow to rehide it a different way. I'm like, the most creative thing about this guy is how he constantly moves his bald spot camouflage around. I mean, it's very good.
But Ronnie, then why doesn't he talk about that? That might actually be interesting. Maybe he should bring that up and go, ladies, I want to talk about my hair plugs or my hairpiece. And
the most painful thing I ever went through was plugs. No, they can't do that on TV.
Well, he needs to do something, because I guess JoJo, I always complained about this last season with JoJo, just like, my main interest is love. I just like love. I like talking about relationships, about me falling in love, about men falling in love with me. And I want to talk about more about our relationship and how deep it's getting. What, based on what? Okay.
They don't base it on anything. Like when he sits down with the nurse later in this episode, like mousy nurse, she's like, I haven't had much time with Nick, and it would be really, oh, now I have time with Nick. And then they're sitting there and he's like, so, you know, what are you, blah, blah, blah. She's like, this is so great just sitting here. And he's like, yeah. And then they make out. I'm like, these two are boring enough to last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just like when you're cold, you need a blanket. I think that's where this show has gotten to. It's like,
I think you're right. We'll focus on the side issues, which are the best part.
Oh, yeah. I don't even pay attention on the dates. I start cooking or cleaning.
I know. I thought about you during the one-on-one, during Rachel's one-on-one, because I was like, well, Ronnie's probably making some potatoes or some beets.
Yeah,
like,
actually.
Something is cooking in Ronnie's kitchen right now.
I had another window open, and I was looking at Vespas. Like, I don't need a Vespa. I already have one. I don't need anyone, but I'm like, I need a Vespa. So I was looking for Vespa. So I was like, that's my dream.
Well, Rachel got the one-on-one, and they showed Jasmine, the other black chick on the show, looking at her like, girl, I see how it is. You're just leaving a sister behind. Okay. Okay, girl.
Jasmine is hilarious. Later, and I can't believe that Jasmine hasn't had more time, because she is hilarious and she's keeping it in check, but you can tell that she's like the stereotype. Like on that show Unreal, which is about The Bachelor, and those of you who haven't seen it, it's amazing. It's so good. But it's about that. And one of the producers is this gay black guy, and he's always in charge of the black girls. And he's like, look, they just want you to be the stereotypical black bitch yelling at everybody and blah, blah, blah. But I think that's what she is. I think that they cast her to be that, because you can tell it's just simmering and she's keeping it inside, because she's always like, Corinne, oh, hell no. There she is again. And I'm not going to take this anymore. And then she falls down or whatever.
Right.
So she's set up to be that one. So I cannot wait until they get her pissed off enough to just go off.
Well, she was throwing shade, though, when she found out that Rachel got the one-on-one.
Yeah.
I think it's like, if the only one black girl going to be getting the one-on-one, I thought it was going to be me.
It's like basketball. She's mad. Don't men like basketball? Don't they like it? I'm a basketball cheerleader. So they go on the most boring ass date ever. They go shopping at the French Market, and Nick's like, wow, a gator mask. Wow, look at this. This is a glitter mask. And she's like, ha ha ha. Wow, glitter mask. Like, it's been so hard for me to be vulnerable because I'm a lawyer, and in the law, you have to be very serious about lolly, lolly, lol, 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 la, 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 la. And he's like, you're fascinating. Let's, like, fuck behind that gator mask. And she's like, okay.
Nick's like, what's that like having a job? Never mind. I don't want to talk about jobs because I don't have one to talk about.
Which is why I want to pick you, because you can support me. Like, Nick's, you're like, actually one of these bitches who can pay a car lease. So let's get married.
Yeah.
So they go on their like one-on-one date thing. Well, they go listen to some music, and I felt kind of bad for the girl who's singing. Did she say something about changing your? Did she say something about becoming trans or something? It was a weird song. Who was that singing? Lolo?
They said the name was Lolo, and of course, Nick's like my favorite. I can't do the Nick voice like you do. Right, one of my favorite singers of all time, Lolo.
Yeah, that's
no, it's not.
It
Nick.
Is not, it's Nick.
Another one on your bucket list.
Yeah,
if
you believe
singer.
Nick, it would be the Backstreet Boys, Lolo, and who is the country guy from last week?
Chris with the Lane or something. Yeah,
on his that, iPad or his
he,
iPod.
He literally said that Chris Lane was on his bucket list. That's a sad bucket list. I need to revamp this bucket list. But I have to give The Bachelor credit because Lolo wasn't like just another cheesy country pop vocalist.
Yeah, she was like a New Orleans. Yeah, she was like a New Orleans chick, you know, because New Orleans is like Austin where there's someone singing every place. Like you can't go get a damn Starbucks without somebody being like, "Welcome to the new side of the moon." It's like, oh Jesus, enough already. You show up at the airport and they're like, "Dang, chicka dang, chicka dang, chicka dang. You're a girl, I'm a boy. You flew, I'm on the ground. We're different, but we're the same." I'm like, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Can I get off my Southwest flight and find baggage claim?
Well, I've never been there, so, you know, Lolo was a real treat for me.
She was singing a weird song. The lyrics in it were weird. It was like, when you're a boy but want to be a girl, you look inside of you. And I was like, this is an odd song to be singing on a date.
Yeah, and I love the fact that this is one of my favorites. Rachel, they both were like looking at each other like as if it was one of those like Chris Lane type singers. You know, she's like all tatted up and her hair's fucked up and she's just like singing and they're like, "Oh, isn't this nice?"
Nick kept looking at her like, "Do you want to make out?" But she was like, "I'm going to lean my head on your face." And he's like, "Darn it. I wonder if they have cheese sticks here."
Yeah, well, they did enough making out.
Yeah, they sure got to their making out. So they get to their one-on-one thing, which is in an empty float shop, which, you know, for like the parade floats and stuff.
Right.
Which, I mean, it's just such a sign for this show, you know, like a bunch of empty floaties just sitting around. So they go in there, and now's the time where she has to whip something out, you know, emotionally. It's like a job interview where they're like, "What's your emotional?" It's an emotional job interview. "What are your emotional thoughts?" It's like, "Well, my mom died," and then, oh, geez. So she has to do this part. So she's like, "Well, you know, today when we were at that it's called the second line. That's, oh, when the saint, that part." She's like, "Well, they do that for celebrations, but they also do it when people die. And I was just here for a funeral." And he's like, "Oh, that's so sad. Do they have cheese sticks here?" She's like, "Yeah, someone died, and I was in the second line, and you know, it made me reevaluate my life. And I thought, I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity from now on, whether it's going on TV to date some guy with really bad plugs or whether it's..." No, it was pretty much the only advantage I'm taking, but I am taking it. So yay, dead people parties.
Well, I also thought it was interesting because most people, when they do this part, that's when they whip out the like, "I had a fiance." Okay, well, it wasn't my fiance. It was someone else's fiance, but I'm borrowing the story for the show. And they died tragically in a car crash or a balloon accident, or I don't know. I didn't really get the story straight. But hers was just like, yeah, somebody died, not saying who it was, not even like a grandmother, like nothing. There was no part of the story. It could have been a coworker, like no idea. "And now I'm going to take life by the balls." Well, who died? You have to say that part. You got to personalize it a little bit.
Yeah, was it somebody who didn't take any opportunities? Like, who was it? Why did they inspire you? She's like, "I mean, the music was just so good at that funeral. I thought, man, I need to party more. This is great. Like, what are you thinking?" So Nick's like, whoa, that's crazy. So yeah. What about your family? I don't think I know anything about your family. And she's like, yeah, you don't. Actually, you really don't, actually. I'm like, whoa. So then she starts talking. She tells about her dad, who's a federal judge. And
he looks panicked.
Yeah.
He's like, does your dad like not like drugs? Because yeah. That's...
Or is he, like, crooked? Like, does he ever impound cocaine? What does your dad think of search and seizure? Does he have keys to the evidence lockers? What city?
That's Nick's only thought for everybody's job is, like, do they have a drug connection? He's like, because I'm... He's like, because, you like, I don't want to bring this up like on our one-on-one date, but when I was on a one-on-one date with Danielle, like her ex-boyfriend or fiance or something died and he was from drugs.
Yeah. He's possibly got heroin in his pocket. So
yeah. So
do you know
federal
how to dig?
Judge, like how, like, what's the, like, do you ever have, does, do you ever see like where he, if he gets drugs, like where he keeps them or I just want to know for the hometown date, like I need to plan.
He's like, well, what should I call your dad when I meet him? Which basically is saying, I'm taking you on the hometown or whatever. But he's like,
right.
What do I call your dad? And she's like, Mr. Dad. And he's like, okay, well, what do you call him? And she's like, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, this show.
Honestly, so, that was about the extent of their conversation. And then Nick goes, Rachel? You surpassed all of my expectations. Thanks for being you.
Thanks for possibly having a connection to coke. And she's like, this is when she whips out all of her, well, you know, people don't know this about me because I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. Like, we know you're a fucking lawyer, okay? Most people don't brag about that. Like, I know that's something to brag about in your world, but the rest of us hate you because you're a lawyer. Stop bringing it up. But she's like, I'm a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. And he's like,
she's like, you know, like, at the end of the day, like at the end of the day, after I've run some things up a flagpole, I want to step outside my box and live life to the fullest.
Yeah, she whipped out all of her bachelor things. She's like,
yeah,
people don't know this about me because lawyer. But I, you know, it's very difficult for me to be weak and vulnerable because when I'm vulnerable at work, like that's bad lawyer being. So it's nice to go outside and feel vulnerable, even though
and
I'm
Nick
a lawyer.
Sincere. Nick is sincere. He's sincering me and he's so super genuine. And he's vulnerable and sensitive. And he lets his walls down to let his vulnerable out. Like, whenever he lets his walls down, some more vulnerability sneaks out. And, like, I'm, like, vulnerable.
Yeah. She's like, I do not object to his vulnerability. I will tell you that right now. So she's so...
I think vulnerability is contagious. I think I just caught vulnerability.
No, that's Hep C. So she's... She's pretending she's like so happy. She's like, oh, can you believe this? I'm a lawyer and I'm on The Bachelor. I never believed in fairy tales, but I believe in today. And today was a fairy tale. Like,
Yeah.
Fast forward.
Case closed, motherfuckers.
So we see the girls in their Marriott, which are much less excited about now.
Your Honor, I would just like to state the evidence that this fairy tale is real. Okay, I wouldn't have believed it before, but my client proved to me today that vulnerability speaks louder than words.
I would like to submit an empty paper mache dragon head as a sign of that fairy tales are real.
Evidence A. Exhibit A. This paper mache empty dragon head.
Your Honor.
Exhibit B, Nick's teeth.
Your Honor, I would like to give my opening statement. He's like, the trial is over, but I need to make a first impression again. Can we do this again? I'm all about making first impressions 20 times. He's like, please get out of my courtroom. I'd like to call my first witness. He's like, get out. It's over.
But my dad is a federal judge.
Does he have any coke? The judge is like, okay, case is open again. Can I have lunch with your father? Where is his coke? Where is this dead person you heard of who has heroin in his pockets?
So date card, cat lady, the Russian, Dolphin Shark, Raven.
Dolphin Shark is wearing pig slippers. I fucking love her. I wish she could win this whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe she'll be the next Bachelorette. Nose Ring, Vanessa, both the Danielles, Whitney. No, Whitney's still there. Yeah, Whitney.
Girl, I can't remember all these names. I'm like Handlebar Nose, Big Face, Dental Assistant, Cat Lady, Hick. Who else? I don't know. Who cares? So there's like a group date. So some of them losers get to go on that. And then the two-on-one. Corinne and Taylor. Corinne and Taylor are going to be on the two-on-one because the producers are evil motherfuckers. And Taylor's face is like, are you understanding my feelings, Nick? I'm like, Nick is not in the room. Stop whining. Nobody is listening to you. Nobody's listening to your stupid eyes, okay?
Hold on. One quick second. I'm taking tape out of my dog.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Most polished podcast on the internet. You know, I insist on doing these at home because my ass ain't leaving the house. But this is what
My dog was eating a tape dispenser.
No, girl. You know there's a UPS guy going to show up at my house in the middle of everything, too. And that's just how it is. If I had to leave the house to do podcasts, I wouldn't do them. So we're doing them at home, living our normal lives, guys. Okay?
Okay. So then, all right. So the group date. Yeah. Haunted house. You were probably saying that.
I was just saying Corinne and Taylor are the two-on-one. And Taylor goes, well, I hope that she's threatened because I'm confident I'll bring him home. Emotional intelligence. And Raven's like, this is insane. This is like people, it's like when my brothers put chickens in a box and make them fight until one of them's dead. It's going to be good. I'm voting on the chicken. Like, they're both chickens, Raven. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to win either way then. Is that called even money?
Fry them and serve them up to the rest of the girls.
So Raven is like, oh, so the group date, they go to a haunted house.
Well, slap my ass and make me a sundae, girl. What? Sorry.
You're about to take a slut over the head. You don't keep fighting. I'll tell you when you're done. It's when one of you's dead.
Oh my God.
So Raven
says some shit about like when they're going to go to the haunted house. And she goes, Nick looks fine as a dime. He's 10 on all boards. What? Not a gymnastics meet. What are you talking about?
She's like, I didn't sign up to be a Ghostbusters. I'm going to rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus.
Oh God. That was so funny. Also, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't this haunted house like a plantation?
Yeah, it was a plantation.
Well, isn't that going to make Jasmine feel a little bit uncomfortable? I just feel like they always glamorize it when it's like, okay, but this is what slavery was. And they're like, no, this was owned by a millionaire slave owner.
Isn't it romantic?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No slaves were beaten here. But okay, go on.
This is not romantic. But thanks, guys. Thanks. So they go into, and it's a haunted house, and, you know, there's some guy working for $5 an hour there or whatever, and he's like, ladies, I've got some mint juleps for you. Ooh, and they're like, what?
Can I just make a macro note on this part? Probably one of my least favorite dates, activities ever. It felt like a different show. I was really bored. I wanted to fast forward, but my kids were into it. Which just goes to show you that it was stupid. I mean, it was so overacty. The whole thing, we're at a haunted house. Everybody seemed like they were reading off of a script.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what it felt like to me. We're going to get all the Bachelor girls that are left together and we're going to make a movie. Okay. Yeah. Everybody's going to play a part. I'm the one who likes to explore the haunted house. I'm the one who's scared.
Well, this is the point. This is the point in the season where they're like, what the fuck do we do? We only really have Camille. Like, that's all they show is Camille. I mean, they show Camille every other scene going, fuck that bitch. I'm going to kill her. So they only have that.
Like,
so
how much longer can we keep her here?
Yeah, they're probably
getting
just
obvious.
Yeah. So they're just trying to do anything to make it entertaining. There was a doll. He's like, there's a little girl who died here named May. may die from the yellow fever, but she always wanted her doll. I'm like, was her doll missing? Why wouldn't her parents just give her the fucking doll if she's got yellow fever? I mean, yeah. It seems like that's not the time to be withholding toys. You know, was she grounded for getting the yellow fever? I want the story of why they wouldn't give her her doll. Poor kid had yellow fever.
I had the exact same thought. It was so over the top.
Yeah, what's wrong with her parents? So he shows them the doll in the case. It's like that horror movie, which I forgot. Insidious, whatever. So the doll's in the case, and he's like, don't touch it, whatever you do. And Jasmine's like, I don't care. I'm going to touch that damn doll. What the hell do I care? There's no such thing as ghosts. And if there is a ghost, hey, fuck you, ghost. Like, Jasmine's all ready to fight the ghost. So she touches the doll, and then things start happening.
She's like, that ghost better not get a one-on-one. I'll tell you what.
She's like, with my goddamn luck, that ghost will get a one-on-one before me. She actually said, oh, God, that little girl's dead. I don't believe in this Molly bitch, whatever her name is. Molly.
May.
she never guessed it. It was like, yeah. This Molly bitch, Molly, Mabel, Mary, Master Antonio. I'm like, it's way easier. Just
she's May. Like, whatever. I don't like her, okay? I don't have to like everybody. I'm sorry. Some people just don't get along, and that's fine.
Meanwhile, over in the hotel, Camille is putting on a facial, trying to open champagne in a bathtub as clown music plays, like drunk slut clown music, you know? She's like, dunk, dunk, dunk. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to open a bottle. I'm definitely smarter than Titty thinks.
She's like, I'm smart. I'm good enough. I'm emotionally intelligent enough. And God darn it, people like me. A lot.
She thinks I'm stupid. I'm not emotional intelligence. She actually made some weird noise and was like shimmying in the bathtub drunkenly. I was dying. And then they show Taylor in her room, and she's got one of those little things that looks like poppers. It's like a little tiny jar from Whole Foods. It's like relaxing scent. And she's meditating. Yes. She's like, yeah. Meanwhile, they show Corinne, and she's ordering, like, 5-course meals from room service.
She's like, I'm going to need a lot more wings. That's all I could say.
That's a smart girl. She's just ordering room service. Like, she's making the most of it. And she goes, yeah, it's really sad that Taylor can't, like, see other signs of intelligences. I'm like, you are so stupid.
Like, another sign of intelligence is how hot your wings are. Like, I like my really hot.
I got wing intelligence, okay? You got wing intelligence. I come with a side of celery. I'm like, Taylor, that stupid bitch. So the lesbian cut to back to the house.
If I was an emotionally intelligent, would I have blue cheese motherfucking dressing with my wings? I think not.
So over at the house, the lesbian with the handlebar nose is like, you know what, Nick? Here's what I'm thinking. Like, what if this is real and that little girl really did die of yellow fever and she really does just want her doll and we're not showing respect to the dead person? He's like, okay, next. Next. Get this girl out of here.
Yeah.
Raven and Simone are upstairs freaking out because Simone has angered May, and May shows her anger by tipping over plates.
I totally ignored all this part. And
well,
I
she's
came...
like, look, I thought you guys were setting me up at first, but now I believe in ghosts. I mean, I touched May's hat, and now look, plates are falling. You know, the lights went out. Candles are flickering. So then speaking of candles flickering, they skip over to the nurse and the hick, Raven and what's-her-face.
Danielle.
They're holding these candles. And they're like, May, we want to ask you questions. She's like, yeah, May. Do you like Sonic better or Whataburger? Tell me the truth. And they're like, the candle's flickering. They're like, yes, that means she likes Whataburger. I'm like, the candles are flickering because they're candles. You fucking Nimrods.
Oh, my God.
Your air coming out of your mouth is making the candles flicker. Jesus yeah. Christ.
Well, it's also just the whole thing is so planned, and then they cut to like the caretaker every once in a while, who this guy is like from some kind of community theater, you know, down the road.
He's like, open a new window, girl. Sorry, I thought I was in MAME for a moment. Which performance is this? When you've got a resume like mine, the lines come out of nowhere.
He's like, oh, they've touched the hat rack with the sheet over it. This is where the trouble begins, ladies.
This is where I ponder if I were a rich man. That's Fiddler on the Roof. Damn it!
He's like, here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping people see this and offer me a job at the haunted house at Disneyland. I dreamed.
He's like, ladies, May has a message for you. Jellicle cats are jellicle cats. Jellicle cats are jellicle cats. That's cats. Damn it! Can I get a line? Can I get a line, please? So let's move on to some dates that are some private time.
But first, Danielle gets like a little bit of one-on-one time. The NICU nurse gets a little bit of one-on-one time, and she's all whisper voice.
Yeah.
Hi, we had a good conversation with May in the house, but I worry that he's getting closer to the other girls.
Yeah, this is when she tried to get all deep with him, and he's like, well, how are you doing? She's like, good. How are you? I want a blowjob. She's like, okay. And so then they just like make out. And they're like, our relationship's back on track.
And my 9-year-old, I'm worried my 9-year-old's watching too much. Both of my kids are watching too much Bachelor, both the twins, because one of them goes, Sadie goes, I don't think he's feeling her like the other ones. And then Maddie goes, well, he's feeling her butt. True story.
Wish he was.
Yes, he was.
And then inside, the dental assistant, who I guess has become psychic because now she's in a haunted house. Like, I don't understand that crazy Russian bitch, but I'm liking her more every week because she's inside and she goes, here's what I'm feeling. The rose is going to go to somebody where it feels like things aren't going good, but then she's going to get the rose because it's going to be validation, you know? And the... that lady is going to feel uneasy, but then she's not going to feel uneasy. Now, she's right. This actually ended up happening, which was kind of hilarious because at first I was like, she's actually psychic. But then I thought, everyone's feeling uneasy.
Yeah.
that could have been anybody. But still, it was kind of impressive for her psychic skills. So Nick and Raven get some private time outside. Yeah. And Raven's like, oh my God, candles flickered. Did you know that May liked Sonic? And he's like, who doesn't like crushed ice and like cherry soda or whatever? And he's like, so I thought you were skeptical. And she's like, well, we asked it all sorts of questions. Who's going to get the rose? Who's going to buy? I'm not telling you till we're done, Nick. He's like, why aren't we making out yet?
And then she goes, Nick, I want to tell you that the moment I fell in love with you is when you sang The Little Mermaid. What? Did I say the moment I fell in love with you? Did I just tell you I love you? I think I just told you I love you.
Well, it's a little bit soon, but there, I said it. I own it. Also, I said Little Mermaids, which, you know, there was only one mermaid. I was like, have you seen The Little Mermaid? There was one. Raven. Little Mermaids. Stupid Raven. I was so mad. I'm like, was there another mermaid that I missed? Because that's like my favorite movie of all time. So if there was another mermaid, please enlighten me, Raven.
So then, can we skip right to the... So then they give... Then Nick gives the group date one-on-one. The group date rose.
Yeah.
Which he gives to NICU for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I don't really know either.
They have zero chemistry. They talked for like a second, for what we could see, and she got the rose.
But don't you think he's... just basically going for a boring blank slate. I think he acts like he likes all these women who've got so much like attitude or whatever. It's like, yeah, I like the girl with some attitudes, but I don't think he does. I think he just wants like some blank slate. He can basically watercolor whatever personality he wants to on there, you know?
Okay. I differ from you. I think he does kind of like the girls with a little like sass that are fun, but I think he's so in his head involved in the television show production aspect that he's like, I really need to give each, I need to make it feel like each girl's getting equal time. So I'm going to pretend to be interested in this boring girl so that America thinks that I could possibly be into her.
Oh.
That's what I think.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Which is annoying because I think it's like just I don't think for any moment Nick is himself. Like, I did think when he was with Rachel, I think he did like her more. When he goes, I'm really into you. I actually felt like he did. I think he does respond to the girls that are a little sassy and have stronger personalities. But I do think he's trying so hard to trick us, to mislead. Yeah. I think he's like probably sits with not the editors, but he sits with the producers and he goes, what do you think? Who should I pick? I mean, everybody might be thinking I'm losing interest in Danielle. So I'll pick her so that people start thinking I'm into her again.
Yeah. Maybe, but I mean, if he's that into production, you would think he'd comb his hair. You know what I mean? Like, he literally has eye boogers in his eyes during half of this. Like, if he's that interested, why is he making no effort? I don't think he's brushed his teeth once. I'll bet you anything he hasn't. It's like, why? I'm just going to get layers of hoe. At least I'll have, like, plaque to protect me from whatever diseases these bitches are carrying around. I mean, that's a lot of hoes to be making out with.
Yep. So now we're at the good part of the show.
Yes, now's the best part. The two-on-one date. Dun, 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 dun.
One of them says, I believe Corinne says, I'm going to tell you something. She's calculated. I'm more colorful. Make America Corinne again. Maddie goes, I bet she's a Trump supporter. I was like, yeah. Bitch is a Trump supporter. And then Taylor. The decision shouldn't be hard. I mean, we're very different. I don't have a nanny. I have a master's degree in psychology. Okay, so the decision is between me, who has a master's degree in psychology and a higher level of emotional intelligence, and Corinne, who's a fucking little bitch. And if he picks her, he's thinking with his dick.
Yeah, and then they cut to Corinne, and she goes, I don't like her.
Yeah.
That's basically the contrast right there. It's like a big speech and I don't like her. Yeah. So they go to the docks to go through the bayou and there's snakes everywhere and there's a crocodile or whatever, alligator, whatever the hell's out there. And she's like, oh my God, I'm in the jungle.
Yeah, it sort of looked like a cross between Deliverance and an Adam Sandler movie. Did you feel that?
Well, it is kind of like that. It's like silly, like an Adam Sandler movie, but there's always like an undertone of rape. Like
yes.
Deliverance. And always some odd musical skill coming out of nowhere, you know, from like Lolo or whoever.
Right.
So they go to the bayou and they, it's really an awkward thing because first they're on this little raft and this big fat guy just jumps on it. He's like, yeah.
Right.
So they look really uncomfortable and then they go.
And then you're like, is he gonna rape someone?
Yeah, it was
like,
creepy.
You don't know. Cause that's when they started doing the weird banjo music.
Yeah. Then they get off and they start walking through the jungle. What do you call that? It's not jungle. What do you call it?
The bayou.
The bayou. Oh, I thought the bayou was just the wet part. So they walk. I'm done. I'm Corinne. So they walk through and there's like a skeleton of something. And she's like, oh my God, what ate that? Why? Why didn't they eat it? Why is there a skeleton? Why are we here where something got eaten? Oh, she gets a bug in her hair and starts freaking out. So then we hear the drum beats. And it's like, dong, chi, chi, dong, ha, li, 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 dong, dong, chicka, dong, 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 dong,
dong, dong, dong. Then suddenly it's Angel Heart. Oh, that's like...
Lisa Bonet is like, why am I the least liked of all the Cosby children? Why? Yeah, so they walk out there and there's all these witches and they're like all in white banging drums and doing step touches around a fire. And then this creepy older white chick comes out of nowhere and she's like, hey, how y'all doing? I'm a voodoo priestess.
Yeah.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much. It's just like, don't, don't. Ha, I'm a voodoo priestess. Welcome to the bayou. We just sacrificed a virgin. Okay, now here's what we do here. We seek the truth, okay? And voodoo dolls are maligned. They are dolls for healing. And Nick goes, so they don't cause harm? And she goes, I'm not saying that, Nick. Not saying that.
Right.
But we then bring truth to the surface. I want you all to meet the reader. And Corinne goes, oh my God, reading. Boring.
No, there isn't going to be any homework. I mean, I have intelligence, but it's more emotional intelligence. It's not, you know, other kind of intelligence that you need for, like, book learning.
Forget the reader. Can I just, like, show you my wing intelligence and go back to air conditioning? Because bugs, gross. So Nick, stupid Taylor, is like, this will be interesting because Nick needs to know the truth about Corinne. And she's going to get it from this reader in the bayou.
Yeah. So first Taylor gets her reading. And the reader's like, okay, what I'm feeling is that there's a person in the house. Like, I love the fact that she's not even pretending that she's not doing it off of a script.
Yeah.
She's like, there's a person who's vying for Nick's heart in the house who's really nasty and cutting. And you should stay away from her. She's like, oh my God, I think she might be talking about Corinne.
She's like, there's a man in the house getting a blowjob from the cutting girl behind a tree right now, somewhere in this bayou. She's like, wait a second. So Nick's, meanwhile, making out with Corinne behind some tree.
Right.
And Corinne is like, I'm going to get her because, like, she emotionally attacked me. Oh, no, she's telling Nick this, right?
Yeah.
She's like, I feel obligated. Like, I feel
there's a problem with Taylor.
Yeah. Like, she emotionally, she emotionally attacked me, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
She basically called me stupid.
Yeah. And Nick goes, how does that make you feel? Bullied. I feel bullied.
He's like,
and I'm sorry, but there is a lot of legislation, like, in a lot of schools, and I really think that it extends over to, like, the Bachelor show that is, like, anti-bullying.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, it gets better. Okay. I don't know when. I don't know when, but it gets better.
I mean, to me, so far, it got better. It was bad. Then it did get better, but now it's worse again.
Yeah. Now it's, like, better not. Like, I'm going to start a new bullying campaign called It Gets Better Not. And then people are going to come on and they're going to be like, I'm better. And then Taylor's going to emotionally abuse them and they're not going to be better anymore. Like, we're never going to finish a video. And he's like, let's make out. So they make out a lot. And then,
like, my Nick, I'm just saying that I really care about you, but your lips are bullying my lips right now. My lips are feeling bullied.
But I like it. Yeah, bully me with your tongue. Preferably on my vagina. Ouch, that hurts. I'm crying. At least it wasn't emotional. At least he was vaginally bullying me. That's, like, totally different. And I'm emotionally intelligentistic enough to understand.
Yeah. I have vaginal intelligence and wing intelligence.
Oh, but my God. What if they could make make a Corinne vag wing? That would be, like, the best wing seller ever. It would be, like, Super Bowl.
They could sell it at the Hustler's store and Ralph's. So,
multi-million-dollar industry. Multi-million-dollar company. So they're making out. And then she gets her. Meanwhile, the reader's like, I see that there will be a judgment. And something is going to be complete and final. Dun, 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 dun. So Taylor and Nick. So Corinne goes out. Now, the reader is intuitive enough to be terrified of Corinne because she does not give her a reading like that. She's like, basically, you're mean. You're a queen of swords.
You're a bitch. Yeah.
So maybe be less bitchy to people. Do you have any questions? And Corinne's like, yeah. How do you use a voodoo doll for a specific person?
Yeah.
And then she gives her one. And shows her how. And she's like, thanks, lady. Thanks, reader lady. That wasn't so bad.
Yeah. And then she's like, I think Taylor's going home. And I'm going to tell you why. Because she's going to get left behind in the swamp. And this butt doesn't belong in the swamp.
Yeah, she does like a butt dance.
Yeah.
Okay, now she's pushing pins. They're playing creepy music while she's pushing pins through this voodoo doll. But did you notice that it's a blonde voodoo doll? Like, the reader hated her so much that she gave her a voodoo doll of herself. That girl's going to be barfing later.
Yeah. Then did you? So then Nick sits with Taylor and calls her out, and basically says, "Why did you? Let me ask you something. I mean, I'm not taking sides here at all. Okay, I want to hear both sides. But why did you call Corinne stupid? What's up with that?
Yeah, why did you diminished? You diminished I did her the sense wrong of voice. Worth. You diminished her sense of worth.
My improv is so bad, Ronnie. I make every years ago. A little side story. I was in a. What was that improv place? It's not the Groundlings, but it's like L.A. I don't know. The L.A.
Iowa West?
No, it's in the Valley. It's the bad place. But anyway, I was in an improv group, and I was terrible. And the head of the teacher told me that my problem was that I'm just always me.
Well, some people like
I'm either
that.
Doing me with like a really half-ass accent or me without an accent.
But, you know, other teachers would tell you that finding you is the most important part, because if you can understand yourself through other characters' eyes, then you would really give them a soul and a heart and be able to bring that character to life.
My okay? soul and heart is just a drunk girl, so I'm always just doing Corinne. Yeah. So even Nick is Corinne in my voice. It's like, why did you call her stupid? What? Wait, that... Okay.
I just like that he phrased it as, you diminish her self-worth, her sense of worth. I'm like, you do not talk like that. And Corinne certainly doesn't talk like that.
Right.
So let's see what happens. So basically,
Taylor sticks up for herself and she's like, listen, okay. Listen, I was just explaining to Corinne that you want a girl who's confident. Okay. And I explained to her that what part of being confident is being emotionally intelligent, which I am, and she's not. And you're not going to believe this, Nick. Okay. Hold on to your seat, because Corinne straight up asked, what's emotional intelligence? I know. Could you die?
I know. And he's looking at her like, what is emotional intelligence? He's like, I cried. Am I emotionally intelligent? I can cry right now. But. Yeah. And she actually says, oh my God, I can't believe she used her time like that. I mean, she's using my words against me. Yeah, that's what you do. Like they are your words. So, and then Corinne's still Taylor sticking that pin in a doll.
Taylor goes, Corinne used her time with Nick by lying. And if he picks her, let me tell you, the relationship will be built on whipped cream and lies.
Sounds delicious. Sounds delicious, actually.
I think that's just described my house. My kid, there are literally probably like two things of Ready Whip in our refrigerator.
And kids always lie because that's
they
how
sure
they are.
Do. Okay, so then Taylor and Corinne start talking. Oh, this is a funny part. Yeah. And then Corinne's like, I can't even believe that you're a mental health counselor.
Like, who pays you for advice? And she goes, I don't give people advice, first of all. I'm like, you don't?
You had a sign outside your office that was like, I'm going to give you advice. Didn't she have that? Wasn't that
you
sign
have a
on the
chalkboard
office?
Outside that says, advice, 5 cents. Okay, Lisey? Like, don't try and deny it. She goes, I hope you feel like you used your time wisely because you lied to him. And not once did I call you stupid or bully you. And she goes, you said you wouldn't be my friend because I'm not intelligent enough. But you're like twisting my words to like make my words. Taylor's like, you're twisting my words. But like, it's kind of true. Because now that I know you, those words are true. And Corinne's like, yeah, it blows my mind that people would take advice from you. And Taylor goes, well, I question that you run a multi-million-dollar company if you really want to go there. I'm like, the reader lady just told you not to engage. And what are you doing? You're out here engaging. Nick is still wiping his dick off behind you on a tree. Like, he obviously likes this girl. Like, you're not playing this well. No one wants, like, a girl who's already a bitch, you know?
Right.
Like, Corinne can be a bitch to all the other girls, but she's pouty and blowjobby to Nick. So what the hell does he care? He doesn't.
Right.
He sees this girl being a bitch, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So he's like, well, this isn't about how they feel about each other. It's about how do they choke? Do they have a gag reflex? So I know what I have to choose. So he goes to them, and Taylor tells us, if he picks Corinne over me, I'm going to fucking freak out. And then he picks Corinne. He gives the rose to Corinne.
Yeah. And then Maddie, my son, goes, what the freaking heck? He's really invested, I guess. It's like, whoa, Maddie. It's a show, dude.
He's furious.
Yeah, he was so upset.
And she was pissed. He's like, thanks. Yeah. This is the most difficult decision I've had to make since I've been here. So, and she
every
just gives
decision
an angry
he
nod.
Makes is the most difficult decision ever. It's like the most dramatic rose ceremony ever. Every decision is like, this was the most, this was the hardest one. It's like you just gave a rose to somebody at a group date that had 14 girls. It wasn't the most difficult decision.
Yeah, you'll survive this, Nick. Yeah. So the meanest thing is that they just leave her in the bayou. Okay, they walk away.
And the best part was he gives her a hug, and then he goes, Corinne, shall we go?
So they get on this raft, and making it even worse, you know that they waited till it was sunset because it's like this beautiful shot. It's sunset. The sun is setting right behind them on the raft or whatever, and they're kissing and rowing away, and it shows Taylor still pissed off at the table watching them pass her in the sunset. It was so hilarious.
It was beautiful. And then you go to Corinne, and
Dear
she's somehow
diary. She's like, Dear Diary, today I learned Corinne is far from a fucking idiot, and I feel stupid for judging her. Period.
She's so evil. Then back at the picnic table, Taylor's just like, what just happened? I mean, I guess my emotional intelligence didn't pick up on the fact that I was just going to get my ass left here at this bayou. I literally don't get it.
So she
starts. Corinne always gets what she wants, and I'm tired of it. Is this the last we'll see of me? I don't think so.
Yeah, so they show her walking through the bayou because how the hell is she supposed to get home now, you know? So she's just going, walking around and it's
bully.
Dark now.
I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bully.
I'm not the villain. I'm not a villain.
I'm
how
a water sign, goddammit. I'm the one who's emotionally intuitive and aware. Me!
So she gets to the dong, 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 dong. Hey, I'm a voodoo priestess. They get to that group again, like, and they're still sacrificing hamsters or whatever the hell they're doing. And then they surround her.
What is Lisa Bonet doing here? Yeah.
They surround her, and they start, like, throwing water or vodka. I don't know what it was, but they start covering her in all this liquid. And she's, like, meditating.
No, they're saging her. I think they were saging her.
And she's being, like, transformed in the bayou by the witches. Dun, dun, dun.
This is why I didn't like this episode. It was just stupid.
This was brilliant to me. I was dying when this part was happening. Some girl wrote on Twitter, this is the craziest twist ever. They're going to burn her alive. They're like covering her in kerosene and they're going to burn her alive.
I wouldn't have been that surprised.
Oh. So they're like witching her up. So she's going to become a witch. So then they show Corinne and she's like, I feel so good right now. Woo. So she has a date with Nick in some warehouse. And she's like, oh my God, having that negative energy is like having it gone. It's like, thank God. Okay. Now who's stupid? She's like eating
her
rose.
Is she even wearing a shirt at all? Because her boobs are completely out. I had to cover my kids' eyes. They were out.
So they start making out at dinner, and then
she's
they
like,
show
who's
Taylor.
Who's stupid now, Taylor? Who's stupid now? Don't cross me.
Yeah.
And then they cut to her with Nick. Thank you for trusting me.
Yeah. And then they show Taylor returning on a speedboat. And she's a witch now. And she's all angry and ready. And I'm like, wow, she is a witch. She got a speedboat in the middle of the bayou. I mean, that's pretty good.
And then she somehow dropped off and then takes like a couple different public transportation. I don't know. She got a bus pass.
These producers
went a few blocks on the red line. And then she maybe caught an Uber. And now she's finally like dropped off like a block away. Just drop me off here.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I want to walk. I'll walk the rest of the way. I've got some thinking to do.
And she's like, tonight he's going to find out the truth about Corinne. And I wish her the best of luck. First of all, what's the truth about Corinne? He already knows everything. There's nothing. Yep. There's no secret to Corinne, you know?
Yep.
So I'm excited to see what this truth is. But she marches up to the building, which, how did she know where they were? Because witch. She's a witch now.
Yep.
And so she goes, she's like, dun 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 dun, hi hi hi, dun 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 dun, witch music. And she's like, Corinne is very egocentric and toddler like. I was like, ooh, therapy words, toddler like. And then you hear a door slam, and Corinne's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Dun, 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 dun. And then the tag of the show is Dolphin Shark, who I think should be the tag of every show. But she's like, oh my God, the scariest thing I could think of, like, ghost-wise, is, like, Nicolas Cage. Because if I saw, like, Nicolas Cage, I'd, like, freak out. Please let Dolphin Shark win. Please.
And then they do this thing where they're, like, coming up, and it makes it that they go, two people go home. And LB was like, oh my God, they spoiled it. I go, no, that they always do that. Red herring.
They said that they're going to trick you.
Yeah.
Well, that was such a fun episode. Actually, way more fun talking about it than watching it.
I agree. But I have a good feeling about next week's episode.
Yeah, I think that this show is pretty good at changing things up. It's like they have their 6-episode arcs just like dramas do, like normal dramas. And next week is episode 6. So it seems like they're going to be changing it up in a pretty major way, because you know there's like a whole pack of crazy in these girls, and it's time to let some of the other crazy shine. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it.
Yep.
Excited. Well, guys, that brings us to the end. So if you want our bonus for the week, go over to rosepricks.com. It's there. The most recent bonus is about the Women's March and gay bars and a bunch of other fun stuff. And we'll be putting out this week's bonus later in the week. You can find Stephanie on Twitter and Instagram at SWilderTaylor. You can find me at Ronnie Karam on Taylorgram, on Instagram and Twitter. And our Facebook page is a super fun place to go talk about the show as it airs with other listeners. They're very funny. So go check that out on Facebook, Rose Pricks Podcast. Guys, we love ya.
Bye.
Bye.